I'd like to start with the captain or the pilots, Captain and Major. If you guys can kind of run me through what happened that day.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. This is Susan Craig. That day was. I know you all are probably familiar with the background of what happened that day, but I'm guessing you wanted the information about the rescue part.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. 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 Well, as you know, there's a chain of events put into motion that day that led to disaster, and our helicopters collided in midair as we crashed into the Gulf of Aden. From there, my co-pilot, who's here, Miss Major Rupert, and I survived and were able to swim to the shore. But as you know, we lost the lives of 10 great Americans that day.
Right.
We swam to the shore and we were starting to collect ourselves, and we quickly realized that just because we made it to the shore or just because we survived the crash and escaped drowning, we weren't out of the woods. We were kind of becoming a little bit nervous about what was to come next, because we were, I was immobile. I had an injury on both legs, and Major Rupert wasn't in a lot better shape at that point either. There was also a mountain behind us that was preventing any kind of contact with anyone on the other side of it. So as we sat there, the night was quickly approaching, and we were hoping for, I guess, a miracle at that point.
Right.
We were sitting there contemplating what we needed to do when we saw a boat cross pretty far from us, but it was going towards the north, and we had some survival equipment in our vests, and we had pencil flares, and we shot one off trying to get their attention, and we were yelling trying to get their attention, and we saw the boat continue to sail away. But as the boat was passing, I saw 5 sets of legs walking around some terrain. It was about probably about a half mile north of us. They were coming around terrain. We shot off another pencil flare, hoping they'd see us, and we were continued to yell for them. For a moment, I thought that they didn't see us, but then they reappeared. It was pretty rough terrain. We saw them reappear and coming. They were coming our way. We weren't sure initially what their intentions were. We were a little bit nervous about it, and whether they were friendly or not. But we quickly realized as they were approaching us that they didn't have any ill intentions. We figured out that they were Djiboutian. They were wearing their parts of their uniforms. They had been playing soccer, so they weren't completely in their uniforms at that point. But they had their weapons, and one of them had a handheld radio. We exchanged some words as they approached. None of them spoke English, though, so we had a great deal of difficulty in trying to communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. But they truly seemed concerned and very kind as they evaluated us. They tried to stand me up, and I couldn't put any weight on my legs, so they put me back down, and they continued on to Major Rupert, and they evaluated him. But as they arrived, it was definitely gave us some hope that we would be found before by that they would help us, and we would be found before it was too late.
Absolutely.
As it continued to grow darker, the decision was made to move us to a better location. We were in a pretty rocky, mountainous terrain at that point. So there were 5 of them that found us, 4 soldiers and then 1 civilian. And since I couldn't walk, two of them carried me, and one of them helped Rupert, and then one carried our gear, our vest, and then one lit the way because it was dark at this point. And they carried us, I guess, probably about a half a mile to a location that was going to be sufficient for a landing zone and for better visibility when our helicopters finally find us. So they remained with us throughout the the time until the Marines found us. They, I guess it was probably after we were moved, it was probably about another half hour until we heard the sound of the helicopters coming.
Okay.
And then they stayed with us throughout until we were loaded onto the helicopters, until we were sent back home. So we're just really thankful to be here to meet them and to watch them get their award for what they did for us.
Absolutely. Have you interacted with them at all since then, or will this be the first time you've seen them again?
This is the first time. I've wondered for 8 years since the accident what happened to them, and you know, I've always been grateful. I've always talked about them when I've talked about what happened, and you know, the moment they left, as I was in the back of the helicopter flying back to camp that night, I thought about them and thought, you know, I was grateful, but I assumed that I would never know anything about them. So,
right.
To receive a message from Staff Sergeant Thompson, letting me know that he'd been in contact with one of my rescuers it took my breath away. So yes, this is the first time that we've seen them since, and the first time we've had an opportunity to learn anything about them since.
Excellent. And Major, can you fill me in on any gaps from your side about that day that the captain might have missed for you?
Oh, sure. Her description of the events were spot on. I'd echo everything she said. I mean, as you can imagine, it was the most horrific experience and the worst day of both of our lives. But when we actually saw the Djiboutians, they were a ray of hope, really. I mean, obviously we were a little apprehensive at first because we weren't able to identify them or their intentions. But
mm-hmm.
once they got close to us, they, like she mentioned, they were really compassionate, and although we didn't speak the same language, it really didn't inhibit any progress. You could really tell that there was a connection between us, just at the personal level, as well as it demonstrated the partnership between Djibouti and the United States, as well as with the multinational folks within East Africa. So the language barrier really didn't bother us at all. But like she said, they rendered first aid for us, and then were able to move us to a suitable area for a helicopter to extract us. And they stayed with us the whole time, and we couldn't be more appreciative for what they did for us. And interestingly enough, that we learned this morning after the rescue, after the helicopters took Susan and myself away, they stayed at the site. They wanted to preserve the crash site in the area until Americans could come in and do their to do the rest of the recovery effort. So not only did they take care of us personally, they kept in back of the mind the larger picture and preserving mm-hmm. the area, which is pretty phenomenal.
And absolutely.
She mentioned, I for 8 years, my wife and I and my family, we've wondered about these men. Who they were, what they were doing there, whether they were locals, military. We had no idea. And just to be able to come out here, it's really humbling.
Excellent. And you're out from Quantico, is that right?
Yes, ma'am, at Quantico.
Okay, and what do you do at Quantico now?
I'm a student at the Command and Staff College.
Okay. Okay. And, Captain, what do you do out in Djibouti still?
Oh, no, I'm out of the Marine Corps. I got out
you're
in 2009.
Out. Okay, got it.
I'm just here for the ceremony. I live in Minnesota now.
Okay. So you both traveled out for this. You weren't going to miss it.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. We were fortunate that the command was the command here invited us, and we're very appreciative to them for having us out here for this event.
We're personally appreciative, and then professionally as well, just to be able to see the cooperation between the two countries, and then seeing the actual strategic partnership, how it was executed at the tactical level, it's really impressive. And just to be out here to witness the recognition of the Djiboutians, as well as Staff Sergeant Thompson, their efforts, it really exemplifies the commitment of CJTF HOA and the partnership between our countries. So it's really humbling to be a small part of it.
Absolutely. And Major, what were your injuries that day?
My injuries, similar to Susan, fractures down my back. I had some knee injuries as well, and lacerations all over, and I was pretty banged up.
Okay.
And then there were some internal problems as well.
Okay. So how many hours do you think lapsed between the actual crash and when you guys were picked up?
Total time, I want to say 5 to 6 hours, that from the time we were in the water until the next aircraft took us away.
Okay. Okay, great. And Staff Sergeant, if you can fill me in on your role in all this.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. I just wanted you to fill me in on your role of this. What did you know of the crash, and how did you start getting in touch with all these guys?
Well, as far as how I knew about the crash, I was here on the task force at the time.
Okay.
I was a radio operator. I used to fly with actually this crew and the other crews quite a bit, a couple times a week as a radio operator. So coming back 8 years later, now I have a different job. I like I said, I used to be communications, and now I'm civil affairs. And I work a lot with the Djiboutian Army, and just one day I was out at the base nearby here, which, you know, I usually go to a few times a week, and one of the soldiers just comes up and hands me a letter, and, you know, I took the time to read it and noticed a few things right away about it, namely the date stood out. And then it explained that him and his friends had responded to this crash and saved one man and one woman. I instantly knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All he wanted to do was he just wanted to know what had happened to the pilots that they picked up. You know, he didn't even know if they survived after they were taken away. So right away I told him yes. They did. They did survive after that day, and, he just wanted to contact them just to say hi and, wish them well. So he, just made the effort to, through whatever means, which ended up being, social media, contact them and tell them, explain to the pilots here that he had been looking for them and wanted to, just say hi, basically, and, then, after that, with these two's permission, after we realized that they had never been formally recognized for their actions, I wrote up the award recommendations and submitted them, like a normal recommendation of, chain of command here at TJTFOLA, and apparently they made it up to the African command, and they made all this happen, so...
Excellent.
That's what I'd say, pretty much.
So have you met all of them, or is it just the one that you've met?
Before today, I had only met the one named Sergeant Eunice. And then this morning, we met two of the, I don't know if you have the full background about those guys. They were them and one civilian. The civilian, nobody really knows who he was, so... But the four soldiers, they wrote their recommendations for them, the award recommendations for them. But one of them is currently in Somalia, so his brother is coming to receive the medal on his behalf.
Excellent.
But, yeah, as of this morning, I met the other guys, but before that, it was just the one guy starting unit.
Okay. So how have they responded to all of this?
How has who responded? I'm sorry.
How have the Djibouti soldiers responded to all of this, finding out that you had put them up for this award?
I think they're pretty happy about it. I know they're very proud of what they've done, and from speaking with the other soldiers around the military, very small army.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country is about 300,000 people, so you can imagine. everyone knows each other, especially in the military. So these guys were kind of an urban legend among them that these guys were the ones that, you know, rescued the pilots, and they were the guys who rescued the Americans, basically. And, you know, other soldiers would walk up to me and say, hey, you know what this guy did? That guy, mm-hmm. you know, that guy saved two Americans. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, tell me more. kind of new, but I still listened to what they had to say.
Right.
And that also helped when trying to track them down, because their headquarters already knew who they were.
Okay. So how long will Staff Sergeant, you're based out there, correct?
I'm sorry?
You're based out in Djibouti still?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been here since August.
Okay. And was that right around when all of this started, that you got the note and everything? Was that back in August?
Actually October, beginning of October.
Okay. And Captain and Major, how long are you guys out in Djibouti?
We'll be leaving on Wednesday evening.
Okay.
We arrived yesterday.
Got it. So now that they're being recognized publicly for this, Major and Captain, what do you guys want people to understand and know about them?
Well, I think that it's just, for me and for my family, we're just very grateful to them. I really, they're wonderful humans. They really went out of their way. I guess we're just grateful to them, and we're grateful to have the opportunity to thank them.
Personally, of course, we'll both of our families and ourselves will be grateful for them for life. And then on the professional side, just we're so grateful that they demonstrate the partnerships and the relationships between our countries. I can't emphasize that enough. They mm-hmm. they totally exemplify that everything that the two nations stand for, and it is just amazing. That's what I would really like people to understand. That they didn't have to do what they did, but they did it without being told, and it's a true testament to the partnerships between our countries at the personal level as well as the professional level.
Okay. And how does it feel for the two of you to be back there?
It's surreal to be back here. I never expected to come back here again. We left on a casualty evacuation, and I remember thinking, I'm never going to see this place again, and here I am. So it's been surreal, and it's been, what I'm looking for or hoping for is some amount of closure or healing from being here, and, you know, being able to thank them has been a big step for me.
Okay.
Yeah, for me personally, it's overwhelming. It really is. But professionally, there's nowhere else I'd want to be right now than to watch these folks get recognized. I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing and humbling to be here in that respect.
Okay.
It's always in my mind, and I guess every day, I think about the 10 that were lost, though, and all of their families who may hear about this and may see this, that I hope that they can, find some comfort in this. And you know, for me, it's the effect of this event on their lives is always with me, and it will always be, it's just the burden that I'll always carry with me is what has happened to so many people.
Right. Okay. Well, you guys have photos that you can share of the ceremony and of all of you together.
Sorry, no, I didn't catch that.
Oh, will you guys have photos of the ceremony and all of you together that you might be able to share with us?
Yes, we do. We have photos from the reunion today, and we'll be generating media tomorrow as well.
Okay.
I'll send it straight to Vivid, and they'll push it out to you guys.
Excellent.
I'll leave photos out within the next 3 hours of the reunion today.
Okay, great. Okay.
I've also got a couple quotes from Sergeant Yunus. He's the Djiboutian soldier that approached Staff Sergeant Thomas. I can forward those along as well. If you'd like.
Excellent. Absolutely. That'd be great. I'd love to include those. Anything else that I missed for this piece that you guys would like us to highlight here?
I don't think so.
No, ma'am, unless you have any other questions.
Great. Well, thanks so much for your time, you guys. I really appreciate this, and I'm glad that we got a chance to cover this story. It's an important one, and I appreciate your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You guys have a good trip. Take care.
Thanks for calling us.
Thank you. Bye.